Proverbs for a number of weeks, in fact, even a number of months now, but tonight will be the last of the messages considered words from the Proverbs, and tonight's word is the word vision, and I invite you to turn to the 29th Proverb, and I'll read verses 18 through 27, and then think with you for a few moments on verse 18. The month of November, I will be speaking three times. One of those nights will be our annual business meeting, but I'll be speaking three times in the month of November on Wednesday evenings. Just a short little phrase or two from the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. So if you want to do a little homework, get ready for that series, you might just read that first chapter a couple of times, and we're going to talk about God's sovereign work as we look at Ephesians chapter 1. And then before you know it, all the Christmas programs in December and a new year will be upon us. So now tonight, the word vision. The word vision is found 31 times in the Old Testament. It's gotten a bad rap in recent years. Most people these days who have visions ate the wrong thing before they went to bed, and that's how that came to pass. But in the Bible, a vision was a way that God revealed himself to his people. Now listen very closely. We have the Word of God. In those days, the written word had not yet been distributed to the people of God, so God gave them visions and signs as a way of presenting himself to them, as revealing self to them. So when you hear the word vision in the scriptures, don't think of an abstract dream or a thought process that adds to the Word of God. Think of Old Testament and New Testament incidences and events when God revealed himself through visions to his people prior to the Word of God being in our hands. Chapter 29, verse 18. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. By mere words, a servant is not disciplined, for though he understands, he'll not respond. Do you see a man who's hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Whoever pampers his servant from childhood will in the end find him his heir. A man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression. One's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. The pardoner of a thief hates his own life. He hears the curse but discloses nothing. The fear of a man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. Many seek the face of a ruler, but it is from the Lord that a man gets justice. An unjust man is an abomination to the righteous, but one whose way is straight is an abomination to the wicked. Pray with me. Father, as we unpack this passage of Scripture tonight, may we exalt you, and may we be blessed as we learn and as we live and as we love as you'd have us to. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the three little thoughts that you have on the handout tonight is the absence of vision, the presence of vision, and then the essence, the reality, the content, the meaning of vision. The absence of vision began in verse 18. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. Your translation may say, where there is no vision, the people perish. And that is, of course, a true statement, and yet this is a better translation of the old Hebrew. Where there is no prophetic vision, not just a vision, which might be interpreted just as a dream or a thought or a concept, but a prophetic vision where God does not reveal himself, the people throw off restraint. They become lawlessness. They become rebellious. They become rebels to the things of God. So let me say that again. Where there is no revelation from God, people cast off right living and right being, restraint. So the absence of vision. The child of God is to be salt, and we are to be light. Salt to stop the corruption in the world, and light to shine and dispel the darkness that's in the world. Where there is a revelation of God, where there is an inspiration of God, where there is an understanding of the things of God, people will be salt and they will be light. The absence of vision, people become spiritually defenseless. Where there is no vision, Satan is alive and well. Let's look at it this way. When you are blind, you have difficulty finding things that people with eyesight can find. You have difficulty going places that people with eyesight can go. When you are spiritually blind, you have difficulty finding the will of God, understanding the Word of God, and walking in the ways of God. You are an open door through which Satan can enter and build a stronghold when you have no vision of God, when you are blinded to spiritual realities. No wonder the New Testament teaches us quite often that we are to turn our eyes on Jesus, that we are to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That vision will keep us from walking in the energy and in the presence and the power of the flesh. People become spiritually defenseless. We are blinded. I certainly am not trying to remind you of the incapabilities of a blind individual. Many of them have senses beyond any that some of us might have. And yet there are some direct relationships between physical and spiritual blindness that have to be pointed out tonight. When you cannot see, you are uncertain. When you cannot see, you are unsure. When you cannot see, you often fear. When you cannot see, you don't know which direction to go. Apply that to a person who has no sense of God, no vision of God, no revelation from God, no word from God. No wonder the people perish. They're uncertain. They're unsure. They're doubtful. They're fearful. They're defenseless. They cannot tell which direction the enemy comes from. They do not know how to fight the enemy and keep him at bay. There is a spiritual defenselessness. Secondly, there's a national defiance. What happens when there is no vision from God? People, one by one, become morally corrupt. Romans chapter 1 talks about the darkness of the world that we live in because it is filled with depravity. The word depravity and the word darkness are twins. When you think of depravity, you think of darkness. In fact, it is said that darkness is of the mind. Darkness is of the heart. We cannot see in darkness. You've heard the old expression, so dark that you could not see the hand in front of your face. Spiritually, when we do not have a vision of God, when we do not hear from God, when we have no revelation of God, we become nationally defiant. We become blind to the things of God. Could I say that just in another direction or another way for you tonight? We are who we are, and we are what we are, born in sin, full of depravity, an evil heart, a blinded eye, a mind that is corrupt, because the light of the gospel of Christ has not shined through. When the light shines through, darkness is dispelled. There is no longer a defiant attitude. There is an attitude of praise for deliverance. People not only become spiritually defenseless and nationally defiant, they become personally destructive. I want you to think about this for a moment. Where there is no prophetic vision, people cast off safety. People cast off certainty. People cast off security. They cast off assurance. They cast off confidence. Where there is no vision of God, we walk in the energy of the flesh. We are our own gods. We are our own protectors. We're our own providers. And any of you who have ever tried to be your own protector, provider, know in just a short time you must cry out, "Oh God, I need you more than I ever realized. I need you more than I ever knew I would." And you never really know that Jesus is all you have until Jesus is all you have. And then when he's all you have, he always becomes all you need. The absence of vision. Let me talk to you a moment about the presence of vision. Where the people do not receive the revelation, the vision, the word of God, all the things I've mentioned happens. Where the people do receive divine revelation, there is a reversal of all the things that I have just said. Here's what I mean by that. We're no longer spiritually defenseless. We are spiritually strong because we put on the whole armor of God. We see Jesus as the completer of our salvation. We're no longer defiant because we've been forgiven and delivered, and now we're obedient and we walk by faith in obedience before him. We're no longer destructive. We don't tear down. At this point, we exalt and we build up because we do have a vision from the Lord. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 9 for just a moment. Let me share with you what happens when there is the presence of God. What happens when you see things as they really are, where there is a vision and a revelation from God. Chapter 9, verse 35 through 38. Matthew chapter 9, I'm sorry. I may have said John. Matthew chapter 9. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. Now listen, when he saw, and mark that word in your mind, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." That's a familiar passage, but let me read the last two verses so that when we go back to our text, you'll remember what they said. Here's what he says. He saw the crowds. He had compassion on them. They were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send out laborers into the field or into that harvest." Okay, we're back to verse 18. Where there's no prophetic vision, the people perish. The people cast off restraints. What happens when there's the presence of a vision? Number one, there is a redemptive passion created in you. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved. When you see Jesus, then you will see his world as he sees it. When you see God, you will have what we call a divine perspective. When God is a reality in your life, when you hear from him, when you are on the same wavelength, the same track, the same page that God is on, when his will is your will and your will is sacrificed to him, you will, without any problem, have a creative passion within you. When you see people, you won't see them in the fleshly way, you will see them as sheep without a shepherd, and you will be moved with compassion because of that. Have you ever walked by someone and ignored their very presence? Have you ever seen someone with a need and turned because you had another agenda? You were busy, you were in a hurry. Have you ever missed out on what could have been a marvelous opportunity because you didn't care as you ought to care? You weren't as concerned as you ought to be concerned? Well, of course you have, and of course I have. But here's what happens. When you see Jesus, you stop seeing things and people like humanity sees them, and you start seeing things and people like God sees them. There is this redemptive passion created in you. When Jesus looked at the multitudes, he didn't see dollar signs. He didn't see that he'd have to sacrifice. He didn't see that there were too many for him to help. When he saw them, he saw beautiful little lambs struggling for clear water, green grass, a place to lay their head down and rest. And he was moved because he was a shepherd. And these were sheep without a shepherd, hurting, helpless, and hopeless. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be what God wants you to be, if you want to get this vision we're talking about tonight, you want to hear from God, one of the first things you're going to hear is, start looking at things through my eyes. Start responding to people the way I would. Be my hand. Be my feet. Be me in a world lost in sin. Be salt. What a corrupt world you're in. Be light. What a dark world you're in. See things like I see them. The second thing that happens when you see this vision is responsive action is taken. Pray the Lord of the harvest. Now listen, when I see the world like God sees the world, I cannot stand idly by. When I see mankind like Jesus sees mankind, I cannot skip on to my agenda and leave a lost world behind. I cannot ignore the needs of those around me if I am receiving a divine vision from God, if I am seeing what God sees, if I'm feeling what God feels. And I cannot truly profess to be a born-again believer if I am blinded to my commission, my responsibility, my duty in this world. If I can pass a lost man and never think about witnessing, if I can pass a cold man and never think about a warm coat, if I can pass a hungry man and never think about a meal, if I can pass a broken man and never think about praying, if I can pass a hurting man and never think about helping, if I can pass any man, I'm like the Levite, not the Samaritan. I have not seen this world through the eyes of God. And when there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, restraint is cast off, and there is no direction and no obedience. So what happens? First, I see people like Christ sees people. Secondly, it breaks me to the point I begin to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into the field. Now, you're not ready for the next thought because I wasn't ready when God gave it to me. I'm just going to give you a warning. If you've followed me thus far, here's what happens. This redemptive passion comes to my heart. I see the multitudes and I'm moved. This responsive action comes upon my life. I pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send more laborers into the field. And then it happens. A realization is birthed. I am the answer to my prayer. I'm the laborer. I'm the one I'm asking God to send into the field. I have the vision of a world without Christ. How can I pass that off to someone else? How can I say that's the pastor's responsibility? How can I say someone who knows more, that's who ought to be doing that? I literally become the answer to my own prayer. I move with compassion and I pray, oh God, you've got to do something about this. And God says, I will. I'm sending you. You're the one. You're the one. You're the one. I'm the one. I'm the salt that can stop the corruption. I'm the light that can dispel the darkness. And I cannot pass my responsibility off if I truly get a revelation from God, a vision from Him and a vision of Him. I will see as He sees. I will be moved as He is moved. But I will also lay down my own glory and be crucified with Christ and not live for myself, but live for a lost and dying world where I am to be salt and I am to be light. You have any kind of vision like that tonight? Any revelation of God that would so transform you into just being who you are and becoming who He wants you to be? Any possibility tonight that the vision of God and the vision that you have are one and the same? Or do you see new cars, new houses, new jobs, new clothes? Do you see prosperity and success? Do you see winning ways and more things and a lot more stuff? Or when you look at this world, rather than wanting the world, do you want the world to want Christ? That's what happens when the vision is real. Well, let me close with the essence of the vision. The last of this, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Now, I want you to see what happens here. We've got a scale before us. And on the one hand, there is the law of God. You know what that was? That was the Ten Commandments, which were enlarged into the precepts of God, which were 673 in the Old Testament. 673 precepts that were all combined into Ten Commandments. So let's just put the Ten Commandments on this side. That's the law. On this side, what are we going to put? The heavenly vision. Moses gave us some insight on that. Lord, show me your glory. And God said, I'm going to pass by the cleft of the rock, and if you'll look, you'll see my glory. And the glory of God so moved and transformed Moses. He not only knew the law, he saw the glory. Put that on your scale. We're trying to balance the Christian life. The first thing that we all need is the revelation of the Word of God. That's the law. And then we need the inspiration of the Spirit of God, and that's the vision. I need to know what to do, and I need to be compelled to do it. So, ladies and gentlemen, as important as the Scripture is, knowing the Scripture and not having the passion to live it is not enough. You must not only know it, that's your belief system. You must live it. That's your behavior system. You must not only have the revelation, but you must have the inspiration. No place for the lazy Christian. No place for the stingy Christian. The redemptive passion must come. When you see the multitude, you must be moved. The responsive action must take place. Lord, the harvest needs laborers. And then you must open your heart and your ear, because here's what he's going to say. My child, now that you have seen my world through my eyes, you are my witness. You go, be the answer to your own prayer. Go into the harvest and be the laborer who not only has the law, but has the revelation, the inspiration, the revelation, so that balanced together, you are equipped and excited to do the work of God. Now, let me give you a little insight from the New Testament. Acts chapter 2 is the day of Pentecost. Do you know what happened on the day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit came. Do you know what the prophet Joel said about that? Well, they accused the disciples on the day of Pentecost of being intoxicated. And Simon Peter said, no, it's just the third hour of the day. It's just 9 a.m. in the morning. We're not intoxicated. This is a reference to and a fulfillment of what the prophet Joel said. You know what Joel said? In the latter days, when the Spirit comes upon you, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. The maturity of the old, the enthusiasm of the young, as both of them are flooded with a vision of the Most High God. That's what Pentecost was. They were flooded with the vision of who God was, how powerful He was, how awesome He was, how mighty He was. He came upon them in the person of the Holy Spirit, and they saw visions, and they dreamed dreams. And their vision was of a people, 17 nationalities, thousands of people in Jerusalem, and their vision was, Lord, look at how many there are. Send laborers into the harvest. And God said, Peter, just stand up and preach, and the harvest will come to you. And that's what it means. Be thou my vision. That's what it means. Where there is no vision, the people perish because they're defenseless. Satan attacks and wins. They're defiant. They don't know how to walk in obedience before God. They're destructive. They destroy themselves in the energy of the flesh. But when there is the presence of the vision of God, divine revelation comes. There's a passion that's created. We see the multitude and we're moved. There is an action that's taken. We pray the Lord of the harvest that He will send laborers. But most of all, there is a realization that is birthed in our own minds. We're the answer to the prayer. We are the laborers. We're praying to enter to harvest. And then we beg, oh God, give us that balance, where on the one hand we know the word, the law, when on the other hand we have the Spirit, the inspiration. Revelation and inspiration balances my life so that I am equipped to be salt and light in a world that desperately needs to be viewed not through the political eye, not through the populist eye, but through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we see our world through the eyes of God in such a way that we become witnesses of what can take place where there is a real vision and the people don't have to perish. Let's pray. Father, in these closing moments of this Bible study, would you just awaken us to what we could be and what we could do if we saw this world through your eyes? What we could be and what we could do if we became the answer to our own prayers. What we could do and who we could be if our lives were just balanced by revelation on the one hand and inspiration on the other. And oh God, tonight, in a convicting and empowering way, would you make us to be laborers in a harvest of man's soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, and Michael will be here in the altar with me. And as we always say on Wednesday evenings, if you're not certain about your salvation, you want to have some direction in that, you come and talk with one of us. If you want to become a part of our church family, you let us know that. If you want to just come and pray that God will really give you that vision that only He can give, that vision of Himself, then the altar is open and you're welcome to pray.